Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My original sin lowered my voice a few octaves last week, so bear with me. The suffering servant of Isaiah 53 is an important part of the early interpretation of Jesus' life and mission. We see this already in John the Baptist, in the gospel lesson that we all heard last Sunday, just yesterday, where John points to Jesus even before Jesus was baptized and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who is taking away the sin of the world." So where is the Baptist drawing that kind of title, that kind of interpretation of Jesus' life? Certainly, we know that lambs are central to the Passover, but the spilled blood of a Passover lamb does not atone for sin. Rather, John the Baptist is drawing on the imagery of Isaiah 53, which draws on the sacred rite of the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16. In Isaiah, we read, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." Sounds like the scapegoat, Leviticus 16. We go on. "He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Isaiah 53. John the Baptist understood Jesus to be the sin-bearing Lamb of God who would atone for the world's sin through his suffering and death. Our reading from Acts chapter 8 is another example of how Isaiah 53 plays an important, a central role in interpreting the life of Jesus for a early convert to Judaism, namely this Ethiopian. Luke records how Philip was directed by the Holy Spirit, and one can say here's an example where the angel of the Lord is none other than a title not for Jesus, but for the Spirit. The angel directs Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch, and then the Spirit, who is in the form of an angel, actually tells him, "Go, speak to him." And we see that he directs him on a road to just south of Jerusalem, a rather barren road, probably gave him a lot of time to come across some water. When they finally did get to water and the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. We also know that this Ethiopian was someone of considerable status. We are told by Luke that he was a court official of Candace, who was the queen of the Ethiopians, and he was in charge of all of her treasure. So a man of considerable responsibility. Luke mentioned that this Ethiopian was a convert to Judaism because he mentions that he was in Jerusalem to worship. So here you have not only a Gentile, but a Gentile who was already converted to Judaism. And he had made a pilgrimage to worship in Jerusalem. As Philip approaches, he hears this faithful Jew reading the Old Testament, specifically from Isaiah's servant song in chapter 53. "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from earth." Even though we readily identify Isaiah 53, that servant song, as a servant song about the Messiah, specifically Christ suffering and atoning death, that is not the consistent interpretation within Judaism. Matter of fact, the servant songs are often interpreted as being about Israel, corporately, having suffered, having gone through struggle. They are the Ebed Yahweh, the servant of the Lord. This Ethiopian convert to Judaism was obviously struggling with that interpretation and struggling with understanding what Isaiah and who Isaiah is speaking about here. So Philip seizes this opportunity as he hears Isaiah read out loud by this Ethiopian, and he says, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the puzzled and very honest Ethiopian responded, "How can I unless someone guides me?" I like to say this, and I think we all realize this, Scripture is clear, but it's not always easy to understand. All of us needed someone to guide us in that understanding. Our parents reading 100 Bible stories and arch books to us. Our pastor faithfully preaching week after week, teaching us in confirmation class. Our Sunday school teachers interpreting the scriptures for us with our weekly Bible lessons. Our youth group leader all served as our guides in interpreting the scriptures to be about the Son who reveals the mystery of the one God of Israel, climaxing in the Son's incarnation, life, suffering, death, and resurrection for the world's salvation. This Ethiopian knew he needed an interpreter. Interpreters of the scripture are needed today even more than in ancient times or in just a previous generation in the United States, because we live in a culture that is increasingly biblically illiterate and religiously diverse. This is a central role for which you future pastors are being equipped, functioning as interpreters for an interpretive guide for the hearers and readers of the Holy Scriptures. None of the members of my former congregation in Traverse City ever told me, "Pastor, you know the Bible too well. You study it too much." No, they said, "Pastor, help me to understand the scriptures fully. Help me to see Jesus throughout those scriptures." Immersing yourselves in the scriptures during your time at the seminary is not just a hoop to jump through in the curriculum to get out there and do better things. It is what the Holy Spirit works through to form you in the image of Christ as a faithful witness of Christ. Turning to his newfound interpreter, the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, "About whom does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Philip then gave him a lesson on Christocentric interpretation, reading all of the scriptures as the revelation of the Son, beginning with this very chapter in Isaiah, this important service song, that speaks of the incarnate Son's atoning work as he silently endured the abandonment of God, of the Father, at his crucifixion, in order to pay, to atone for all sin that was placed on him for us. No doubt he helped this pious Ethiopian to see that there are other servant songs in Isaiah that also spoke of Christ, as well as many places throughout the Old Testament that are about the Son who became incarnate and lived and died for us and rose again on the third day. Yes, Philip does nothing other than what Jesus did for the Emmaus disciples. He interpreted the scriptures Christologically for him. Christocentric interpretation is inherently sacramental, namely, because Christ now comes to us with forgiveness and life, also in baptism and the Lord's Supper. Any talk about Christ in the scriptures is inherently talk about the sacraments where we receive this Christ. Philip obviously testified to this, because as they went on that lonely journey through a mostly wilderness area, they finally came upon water. And what does the Ethiopian say? What prevents me from being baptized? Obviously, as he interpreted the scriptures, he also connected it with how this Jesus gives himself to us today in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, not only through the word. Like Philip, we not only testify to what Christ has done, but also how he continues to offer his saving work from the cross in the here and now, at that baptismal font and baptismal fonts all over, even at rivers along lonely roads. This text lays out for us, beautifully for this Epiphany season, biblical and Lutheran missiology. For an adult, for showing how all the scriptures testify to Christ and then baptizing. For the infant, first baptizing and then showing in the years ahead how all the scriptures testify to Christ. The Holy Spirit worked through these means to bring this Ethiopian convert to Judaism to the ultimate expression of Jewish hopes, to Jesus Christ. And he still works through these same means today. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keeps your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.